What we're talking about is late night and early morning low clouds. With a chance of fall. Chance of showers in the afternoon.
Chance of showers in the afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Boy, oh boy, no chance of showers over here in central France. We have chance of snow. In fact, we have snow falling as we speak here. Only a few inches at least tonight, maybe more than that. And the weather has just been freezing over here. I mean, absolutely skin-painting, awful freezing, and windy, and ugh. Nice to be in a warm house, and nice to be with you today. Daryl Bradford Smith is my name. French Connection is the show. IamTheWitness.com is the website. My guest's website is HugeQuestions.com, and his name is Eric Huffschmidt, and we've been talking about deception within the ranks of the 9/11 movement and peripheral issue movement here, because there's not just 9/11 anymore. We're talking about terrorism that's state-sponsored or American-sponsored or Israeli-sponsored or Zionism-sponsored, and we've got lots of things that are at stake here, ladies and gentlemen. So this is not musings for nothing. These are very important issues. Eric, you want to take another call?
All right.
Chris, you're on. From Chris from Chicago is on. Chris, nice to have you back.
Nice to be back, Daryl, and hi, Eric.
Hello.
You were mentioning the fact that Jewish leadership often puts in instigators under the pretense that they're either Catholic or Muslim or Gentiles in order to infiltrate a society and destroy it, and the Young Turks is a good example of that. There are many more examples. In the story of Purim, Mordecai made Hadassah change her name to Esther so that she could infiltrate and become the Queen of Persia.
Mm-hmm.
And then she used her position as Queen of Persia to destroy the enemies of the Jews. Another good example is the Frankists in Poland, who pretended to convert to Catholicism by attacking the rabbis in the Talmud. And they gained their way into Polish aristocracy, and most of Polish aristocracy became Jewish. And they utterly destroyed what was one of the premier nations of Europe at the time. Poland at one time was as great as France was at one time.
Yeah.
And one of the reasons they did this was so that the smartest and best people of Poland would spread monotheism and modern culture around the world in a dispersal, the same as the dispersal of the Jews by the Romans. And that was another one of the reasons that they imploded French society, was to disperse the ideas of liberty, equality, and freedom around the world. Now, you mentioned the Chinese, and the Chinese had long been used by the Bolsheviks to attack Russian citizens.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the atrocities committed against Russian citizens by the Bolsheviks were committed by Jews and Chinese, and they had also infiltrated the Imperial Japanese government and used Imperial Japan to destroy the government of China in order to establish a communist regime in China, and they also wanted to establish a Jewish state within China.
Well, isn't it interesting, the first bank that's gotten a license to do business there is Rothschild?
It doesn't surprise me a bit.
No, it shouldn't surprise anybody who's been listening to this show. One of the, do you have any other things? I mean, you've been watching this this 9/11 movement, and, of course, we've been over the target, so we're getting attacked with a lot of lies, a lot of just crap, Chris. And, of course, we're trying to fight back, and, you know, they're bringing up nonsensical things, but when we looked at it, when Eric and I looked at it, we found that 60 to 70% of the people in this movement are from the Jewish community. Now, they only represent 2% of the population. What would your take be on those kind of disparities in percentage? I mean, that's a little bit more than a coincidence, wouldn't you say?
I would think so. And it's also amazing how they focus on specific issues while ignoring other issues.
Yeah.
I wonder if you looked at Farm Bureau statistics if the same would be true.
I'm sure they wouldn't. I mean, what we're doing is you know, if we're trying to fight fires like you know, holding on to our credibility under attack, we're not able to put our efforts into the research part of it, and that's something that we need to be doing more of and less of this other stuff. But of course, that's not what they want us to do, and
one of the tactics they always use is to try to get you to waste your time on non-issues and waste your time defending yourself instead of attacking them. Another one of their tactics is to try to hire you and put you in a job where all your time is taken up doing that job so that you can no longer expose what they're doing. So I would watch out for those things.
Yeah.
If I may digress, you had Eustace Mullins on yesterday, and
yes.
he said something which is very historically significant.
Mm-hmm.
He was discussing George Sylvester Viereck, who was the illegitimate grandson of Kaiser Wilhelm I and Edwina Viereck.
Okay.
And it was through his father, who was a staunch Marxist, Louis Viereck, that he was related to the German aristocracy. He was a homosexual lover of Ludwig Lewison, who was one of the premier Zionist propagandists in America. Now, isn't it strange that this person descended from Kaiser Wilhelm and therefore to King David is having a homosexual relationship with the strongest Zionist propagandist in America at the same time that he's promoting Adolf Hitler and German interests in America? And what was striking was that Eustace Mullins stated that Viereck was flattered and pleased when Mullins told Viereck that he had cost Germany the victory in both world wars. Oh, that's another thing I wanted to mention, speaking of Jewish infiltration of societies. Most of the Nazi leadership were Jews. Adolf Hitler was of Jewish descent, perhaps even through the Rothschilds. Adolf Eichmann was a Jew. Joseph Goebbels was a Jew. Hans Frank was a Jew. Eva Braun was a Jew. And Hitler met Eva Braun through his Jewish photographer. Most of the SS officers were Jewish. Through and through, the Jewish hierarchy, the Nazi hierarchy was Jewish. And they pretended to be Gentiles and anti-Semites.
Really?
Really. If you read Adolf Eichmann's own story that was published in Life magazine, you'll see his love of Zionists and how he repeatedly states that had he not been a Nazi, he would have been a Zionist.
Well, we're experiencing that those kind of deceptions in this arena as well as in our government. I mean, you know, this is for all the marbles. And because the Internet was an unknown to these folks when they were making their plans, I think it came up and bit them in the rear end a little bit, Chris. And so they're having to play a little catch-up, and they're throwing an awful lot of money and an awful lot of resources into this to try to stop us from ever getting any traction is what they're trying to do.
Well, if anyone tries to paint you as a conspiracy theorist, just simply point out the fact that the conspiracy was made open by the Frankists. The Frankists in Poland in the 1700s specifically stated that they were going to do this. They were going to infiltrate the Catholic Church, destroy it, pit Protestants against Catholics, destroy both, and then infiltrate all the governments of the world, destroy all the governments of the world, destroy all the religions of the world, and then create a Jewish kingdom which would rule the earth. This is factually documented. It's documented by Jews. You can find it in Gretz's History of the Jews. You can find it in the Encyclopedia Judaica. Another open conspiracy was Cecil Rhodes, who shortly before his death proposed the idea that all the financiers pull their money so that they could run the world. I think this was around 1902. So there's
and was
no
Cecil Rhodes from the Jewish community?
I don't know. He was certainly intimately involved with the Jewish community, and he was trying to spread communism throughout Africa. Rhodesia is named after him.
Right.
And he was intimately involved with Rothschild. It's really the Rothschilds who were behind it all, but the plan existed before the Rothschilds came to power. They simply became the enactors of the plan.
It's an amazing, amazing amount of information you just shared with us, Christopher, and I'm looking forward to our Friday interview. I hope you're better, and we always enjoy those little tidbits because they knock us over, and everybody goes scrambling for a pen when you come on, my friend. Thanks, Chris.
You're welcome.
Get better quick, and we do a Friday show. When we come back, we got Eric Huffschmidt back with us. And we'll share all kinds of information with you, ladies and gentlemen. Stick with us. And, ladies and gentlemen, we come back to a nice tooting sounds of some jazz from Miles. I'm going to do a little bit of updating on the music soon, I think, and get some extra extra pieces in there and other things. I want to talk to my engineers about that. But and we're going to go right back to Eric here. Eric, we got a call from Mike coming up in a minute, but I'm going to go back to you, Eric, and help you. What do you have to say about what Chris had to say?
Well, yeah, he brought up some of the other points, how they try to keep you fighting and you don't know what's going on. The other thing is, see, here, another thing that if they can get people to look at, for example, you or me, if they can get someone to start investigating us, there's nothing wrong with that, to look at any of us. But when they don't find something on us, they should give it up. If they don't, if they just do like, you see what's going on out there, you know, looking into the wrong places is what they're doing. Like Wing TV, you know, they looked into you, they come up with what? That silly things. You know, what people should be doing is looking at the real problems here. Who's in control of our Federal Reserve? Who are the Rothschilds and all their friends? What's Rudy Giuliani's role in this? Who is promoting the UFOs? Chris didn't mention that, but I think they're behind a lot of that UFO and crop circle stuff.
I'm sure they are, in fact.
And see, but every time people get into fights like, well, what kind of plane hit the Pentagon? Was it a Global Hawk? Was it a missile? Was it a this, that, or the other thing? They're wasting their time. We need to be investigating who is doing this and what are we going to do about it. And the other thing that's important is once you find a site or a person that seems to be suspicious, you've got to look at all of the people that they associate with and promote. That's the other thing people don't get. Like if you look at, the Flacco. People, you know, a lot of people have already laughed at Flacco and his Barbara Olson. Well, who does he promote on his site? Which video? Which book about 9/11? Dylan Avery's Loose Change. Is this a coincidence? People have to start asking themselves, is this a coincidence that one gets the promotion? You look at, if you go to that Godlike production, someone saying, hey, if you want to find out about 9/11, click here, and it brings you to this Plague Puppy, a movie at Plague Puppy, Jeff King. You look at what has he got on his site right now. He's talking about Kyle Hence and Indira Singh as whistleblowers. He talks about an interview with Indira Singh that the Guns and Butter radio show did. You keep looking down here, think, what in here is of any value? He talks about square clouds. And he talk about Richard Hoagland, of all people, hexagonal weather. He's got, and then he goes down, you get into Webster Tarpley. What is happening is if you look at all these people, they all promote one another. They all help one another. Meanwhile, who out there is helping you or me?
Nobody.
That's right. And
we're on our own.
That's right. And this is what people don't get. There is a big network of crime out there, big criminal network. They're not all Jewish. This is what people have to watch out. They're not all Jewish. But you have to realize it's a big network, and they're helping each other. They're telling you, oh, check out this site. This is so good. Or check out this video. It's the best. And what they're really doing is diverting you from the more serious information, and people are having the hardest time getting this. They're thinking, well, yeah, some of it's deceptive, but just pick out the good stuff and leave the junk. Well, that's not the way to do it. The way to do it is you will start realizing these are the criminals. This is not a joke. These are the criminals.
You betcha. And you know what? We're actually going to do a written response on some of this stuff for our website, and we're going to talk about it maybe a little bit at the beginning of tomorrow's show. But we have Mike, somebody that does help us. Mike, you're up on the air. Mike from Arizona.
Yeah, hi, guys.
What's up?
It really is a complicated maze that you have to navigate to try to find your way to the truth. And, you know, there's a lot of people out there who I'm convinced actually think they're speaking truth most of the time, and these are the ones who are most dangerous because they are thoroughly deluded.
Well, that's right. See, you have to realize from the point of view of a criminal, it is extremely difficult to get up in front of people and lie, and because you're identifying yourself. It's better to find somebody with some sort of problem, emotional problems or technical, you know, doesn't know much about technical things, and then you convince them of it, and then let them go out because they've got sincerity.
Yeah, and this fellow Kaminsky, I don't know, Daryl, when you turned on him, you turned with a vengeance. He may have been one of these people who actually believed what he was saying, but because he was so vitriolic about it, it was to the benefit really of the of these people that we've been talking about to to really put him out there in, with a very high profile, because it, it puts a bad face on the whole truth movement.
Yeah, it does.
But you know, I've been trying to figure out Dr. Stan Stan Monteith, who's also on your network quite a while, and I I think he's basically a decent man, but I, you know, once in a while he just he does something so bizarre that I just have to scratch my head. I, you know, I mentioned Myron Fagan to him one time. Now Fagan, for those who aren't familiar with him, was a Broadway and a Hollywood playwright and producer, and a very prolific one. And he was a Jewish American, somehow he found out about the Illuminati, and he wrote just a ton of material trying to expose them. And for his efforts, he was spit on when other Jews would come across him in elevators and in stairwells, and he was hated by the Jewish community by and large. You know, when I just mentioned his name to Dr. Stan, and Stan said, "Oh, he's anti-Semitic," and click, I was off the air like that. You know, I think I might have gotten out two words, like, "Come on, Stan, you know, it's preposterous to say it, you know, a well-known Jewish American is himself anti-Semitic. You know, that just doesn't pass the lab test."
It doesn't pass the lab test, but I get the same thing when I call Michael Corbin. And right off the bat. And I call back and said, "Oh, there's something wrong with your phone."
I know you couldn't have disconnected me intentionally.
Right, I just must have heard that wrong. Something wrong with your telephone. But you know something, Mike and Eric? Well, you know, we are on our own, and I mean, you know, they did a great hit piece on me today. It's on What Really Happened, for those of you who want to go read it. You know, you better be very prepared for such horrible crimes as me being caught drunk driving in 1987, which should disqualify me from ever speaking about any issue ever again. But, you know, maybe I want to ask the forgiveness of my listeners and maybe, you know, be given this reprieve here. Here's the interesting thing about all this. When they can't get you on anything, like, I don't take their calls, I don't accept their bribes, I don't take the bait. And now it shows desperation when they start employing tactics such as smearing on absolute nothing.
Yeah, they've taken it to a new level, and let's hope it stops there.
Well, I don't mind it. I mean, I'm a big boy, you know.
But Chris brought up something.
Let me hold you over.
Sure.
Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be right back with Mike and my friend Eric and Daryl Bradford Smith. Stick with me. My name, and this is the French Connection you're listening to. We've got Eric Huffman with me and Mike from Arizona. Mike, you want to finish up that question, and then I'll throw it over to Eric to comment on?
Sure. This little story kind of highlights the how complex this story is, how to get at the truth here. You know, Dr. Stan really hammers on Cecil Rhodes, and Chris mentioned this too, about the Rhodes connection to Rothschild, and you know, this took me a long time to figure out. Rhodes, for the uninitiated out there, Rhodes was an Englishman, a pretty well-to-do guy. I think he was a second or third son, so he didn't have too many opportunities open to him. At any rate, somehow he dreamed a dream about South Africa and commandeering the wealth that the Boers were sitting on, the Dutch settlers who were largely farmers and ranchers, and the some of the natives, the Zulus and others, down in what at the time was Transvaal and the Orange Free State. Rhodes went down there and basically talked the British government into going to war with these people in the late 1890s and killed thousands of Boers who had done nothing but try to hang on to their property and their way of life. For their efforts, they were burnt out, and their families, often their women, the wives and children and the elderly, were put into concentration camps. This was one of the first uses of concentration camps, and it was done by the loving British,
mm-hmm.
and killed off about 25,000 non-combatants just from starvation and the diseases that accompany that. But eventually they won and they got hold, or somebody got hold of the gold and the diamond mines for the crown, which is that collection of merchant bankers and other companies that sit in that 1 square mile area of London called the City, which is primarily Rothschild, I think.
Yeah.
But the story that Stan would have us believe is that Rhodes did this to try to consolidate control over the world, kind of the white man's burden, by the men of Teutonic blood, the Anglo-Saxons, the Germans, and the Rhodes scholarship was restricted to Americans, English, and Germans. Now that, you know, that sounds well and good, but when you look at what Rothschild and the money behind Rhodes has done, I mean, they fomented these god-awful wars. World War One. They brought down the Russians. That was the first thing they did in the 20th century. They brought down the Tsar. So they toppled empire after empire. They killed off millions of the very people that supposedly they were trying to put in charge.
Over 100 million people dead in a century.
Yeah, so, but I'll concede that maybe Rhodes actually did have this dream. But he may not have known what his bankrollers, what his sponsors really had in mind, which was to put not men of Teutonic origin on top, but the Khazars on top. So, you know, it is a complicated picture, and it's not surprising that a lot of people who really have tried to sort this out to come up with very different answers. But, you know, it's a... But the other day, I just couldn't believe it. Stan had a guy named Timmerman on talking about Iran, and he spouting the nonsense about what kind of dangers their nuclear program poses. And Stan never once opened it up to questions. I called in, didn't want any callers, and this guy just was putting out absolute rubbish, as we all know it is. And he really never even questioned this man. Just let him plug his book. Put out this misinformation, and so, you know, that to me told me volumes about.
Yeah, maybe you just need to tune into the French Connection.
Yeah, exactly.
There you go.
I wanted to ask your guest there,
Eric.
Eric, I'm sorry. You know, there's some really important pieces of information that really, for me, kind of clinch the 911 story. One of them was the story that came out of France. I think it was Le Figaro, which was about CIA section chief in the Middle East meeting with bin Laden for like 10 days back in July of 2001, several months before 9/11. There's really no way you can explain that if bin Laden is the desperado that everyone claimed he was within minutes of 9/11. Another story was Cheney taking away the shoot-down authority from the generals. Just a couple months before 9/11 that they had, you know, forever. This was unprecedented. And there was no logical reason for him doing this, just out of the blue. The third one was, again, Cheney ordering the F-16s to fly at 350 miles an hour. I mean, you know, to intercept the these errant flights, or at least the one going after the Pentagon or Capitol. None of these make any sense, and they all, to me, are highly incriminating. Have you or has anyone put together a book or a compilation of these things that are just that totally destroy the official account?
Well, to hear again, what destroys the official count depends on who you ask. As far as I'm concerned, it was destroyed in 2002 with my book, and then my video comes later. Building 7, as far as I'm concerned, destroys it. The problem is people can get caught up in this. You know, it's been how many years, and there are still people saying, well, you know, we need that conclusive evidence. But we've got it, as far as I'm concerned. If we keep looking for more, if we keep trying to look into the details, we're just wasting our time. Because in the meantime, think of since what has happened since 2001. Bombings in subways, trains, the Katrina levees break, the people do nothing. Wars are still going on in Afghanistan and in Iraq. And you see, the way I look at it, it's been proven. We don't know the details. And I think we should just stop looking into it. If people want to do it on their own, that's fine. But, you know, officially we should tell people it's been proven. Let's move on to who's doing it. Let's start identifying the names.
Now, Eric and I stand on the whole thing. Like, we want to get the guys now that did it. We already proved it.
I mean, we're all going to die soon of old age. Look at the USS Liberty. If those guys continue to say, well, what kind of planes were they flying? What kind of machine guns were they shooting us with? I mean, it's been decades. They're all going to be dead of old age soon. And look at World War I, World War II. I mean, I would tell people, it's been proven, because they're always bringing this issue up to you. When you try to talk about 9/11, they'll say, well, has anybody come up with the conclusive evidence? That's not really conclusive. We need a conclusive list. They keep saying this over and over. Don't get distracted by it, is what I would tell you. Just tell them, it's been proven in 2002. It's been proven then. It's time to start identifying the people. And you can identify them. Look at those websites. Look at how they link to one another. Look at 911truth.org and all the people they support and all the people that link to them. Look at those UFO people, the Stephen Greers, the Stanton Friedman. They are all part of this criminal network. We need to start identifying these people.
There you go.
I agree.
Thanks, Michael.
Thank you all.
You betcha. We got to come right back with another long segment with Eric Hufschmidt and probably more great questions from the listeners. Stick with us on the French Connection.
Scotch and soda, but in your eyes.
And ladies and gentlemen, we're back into this with Eric Hufschmidt and myself, Daryl Bradford Smith, on the show today. We have a great show here. This is great talk radio. We're getting a lot of ground covered here. Eric, I'm going to let you get right back into what you were saying there, Eric.
Well, what I'm saying is, whenever you try to talk to people about 9/11, especially on the internet or message boards, you're going to get this response from people that, well, those books and videos, they're not really good enough. We need something better. Has anybody come up with a good list of points to make? They're always trying to make you do something that's already been done. They're wasting your time. The way people have to look at this is a battle for the world. It's an intellectual battle. It's not with guns. It's not with fist fights. It's going to be, the winner of this one is going to be who's smarter than who. Who can be deceived and who can see through the deception. And so far, America, Europe, and Russia are just like the biggest fools fighting one another, slaughtering one another, wasting their money. Look at the money we spend every year on these wars in the Middle East. So far, we are nothing but losers. And this war is going to be, it's a fight over basically intelligence. Who can outsmart who? Who can see through the deception? And we're losing so far. We've got to get people to realize the proof is positive. These towers were blown up. Quit arguing with it. It's been proven.
We don't
need any more. Tell people when they say we don't have conclusive proof. It's proven. We even have a physics professor proving it now. Tell them it's proven. Stop with this nonsense. And start identifying the people. Tell them this is a serious problem we've got here.
Well, we got a caller from New York. Mark from New York, you're on with Eric Hufschmidt.
How are you doing, Daryl? Hi, Eric.
Very well, thank you.
I just wanted to say, I think everything Eric is saying makes absolute sense.
Yeah.
And the only thing that's holding it back is, as you said many times, it's the gatekeepers.
Yeah.
And people do not want to think for themselves. They do not want to make these tough, tough decisions and do anything about it. They basically want to be dictated to. And just like television is a passive medium, or it's a hot medium that makes people passive, what you have now is everybody waiting to be told. They're waiting for somebody in the major media to become indignant and give them the cue, and it's not happening because the people who run that, you know, are part of the game. So, you know, I don't know what the solution is, but I do know this. I think we're coming up to a real, and I hate to use worn-out phrase, a watershed here. I think sometime in March, although Eustace didn't think so yesterday, I think sometime in March, the proverbial stuff is going to hit the fan. And
well, I'm not against that as a possibility. However, you know what? The French Connection is probably one of the only shows in the country with this level of analysis being done. There are other great shows on Genesis talking about similar issues, but we go right for the neck when it comes to this stuff. And you know what? I don't do this show as entertainment. This is education. And I want everybody in the listening audience to grab another body and put them in front of this radio and let people listen just how deeply we discuss these issues and just how much evidence there already is. And the evidence is available. The right action mark is available.
I've learned, over the years, just watching this, and recently, I think things are coming to a head. Because you just can't keep your head in a hole, and which we are doing collectively as a nation. We are just basically keeping our heads in a hole, ignoring reality. At some point, it's just going to poke through, and I'm just afraid that it's gotten so bad that, you know, I try to introduce people to things. It's very hard to get them to come out because, you know, essentially, I even within my family, I get labeled as somebody, a conspiracy theorist. I said, conspiracy's got nothing to do with it. It's either reality or it's not. And if you're living in a World Wrestling Federation type, you know, world, don't expect me to take you out of it. I can't. I can tell you it's phony. I can tell you it's nonsense. But if you believe that's real wrestling, then God bless you. That's what you're going to do. But I'm going to tell you it's not. And it's just that type of situation. I don't see anything but real hard reality as what's going to slap people in the face and make them wake up. And
make them hungry. Make them hungry. Make them broke.
Apparently.
Yeah.
Keep up the good work, Darryl.
Thank you, Mark.
Some rocky times.
We got another caller from Nashville. Chris, you're on from Nashville.
Hey, Darryl. How you doing, buddy?
Good. What's up?
Hey, Eric. Hey, just a few things, three quick points. One of them is a question, and then I'll hang up and listen. Concerning naming names.
Yeah.
Now, I've been, you know, over the time that I've been listening to you, I've been taking notes, and I've got a, I guess you can call it a short list, because there's just so many people involved.
Yeah.
But what I'd like to see is something along the lines of just simply publishing these names and their connections. You know, if it's something as simple as a website, that's just an idea to get those names out there in the public so that they can be seen and start having attention drawn to them.
Oh, I agree with that.
The next point is.
Well, you're going to have to hang on for the next point, Chris.
Okay.
We got a short segment coming up. It's going to be the end of the show there, but Eric's going to be addressing the question when you get it out.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, stick with us. We've got more from Eric Huffman and our caller, Chris from Nashville. Gentlemen, we're right back into this discussion. Chris, you got that follow-up question for Eric?
Yeah, well, the second comment, and I'll leave it on the last with the question, and I'll let you guys have it. Mike, I have a deep concern that this ship is going to have to hit an iceberg in order for this nation to rise up and take action enough to cause a change. And that's kind of frustrating because of the work that is being done to to write this shit. It's not enough.
Well, do you have a question for Eric that he can address before the end of the show?
Well, it's not for Eric, but it's actually for you. Why aren't you on shortwave? At least on shortwave. And I'll let you guys go. I appreciate you.
Well, I'm not on shortwave because it costs money, and I don't have any of that. I got about 496 right now, 496, for the last 4 months of donations. That's what we've got. I'm hoping maybe it'll be a little more than that next week, but I don't have the money for it. It's just as simple as that. Eric, you want to close out the show with some comments and statements and how you feel about all this?
Yeah, he was mentioning, I forgot his first question already, but he was saying this ship is going to have to hit an iceberg, and I'd have to agree with you there. But I don't think the average person under any circumstance is going to do anything, no matter what. See, this is the thing we have to look. If you look through history, it's always the change comes from a small group. This idea that the people are going to wake up, this is another thing that I think they are promoting, because it's wasting our time. When we go after the ordinary people, we're wasting our time. We may as well teach arithmetic to the animals around us. The average person is never going to do anything. We've got to get this through our heads. They've never done anything in history. There is no reason to believe they're going to suddenly change and do something. It's going to come from a small group, and that's what we need to try to find, that small group. And that's why we don't know who they are. They're just scattered around, and we just have to get the information out. Don't fall for this thing about how we've got to wait for the common people. We need a democracy. We've got to get everybody in. We're never going to get everybody.
And well, you know, it's like herding cats, Eric. I mean, fact of the matter is, you know, we tell as much truth here as you can find anywhere on this planet, and we still struggle, and it's interesting, you know, that everybody wants to... They've got a mentality of enjoyment of sniping, and I'm trying to kick people out of this movement who are pulling the crap that we're talking about earlier, and I want them out. I don't want these people in this bloody thing. This is serious, man.
Well, they're the criminals. See, this is what people have to realize. When they look at these disinformation sites, they've got to stop dismissing it as simple mistakes or they're naive. They are the criminals. They've got to push them aside. Don't be picking through their stuff and saying, well, here's a couple good tidbits. You know, this is equivalent to dealing with the car thieves and burglars and rapists. They've got to realize these people are not playing games. They are going to get control of this country if we don't stop it. And we got to stop supporting them. Stop buying their publications, their Newsweeks, their New York Times. Stop going to their websites. Stop falling for all their UFO nonsense. You know, we got to stand up to these people and identify them.
And Eric, stand up every day, my friend, and I'm so proud of you to have you as a friend. And ladies and gentlemen, tomorrow we're going to... We don't have a guest yet for tomorrow, but, you know, as usual, we bring on some great stuff here on The French Connection. I want to thank you, Eric, for coming on again. As you always do, you've really shaken the tree a bit. Ladies and gentlemen, tomorrow more French Connection.